Welcome to another Carlin Live Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Sean, there was an amazing finish to the qualifying game for the World Cup soccer.
It was, and Australia off to their fifth consecutive World Cup.
And six overall.
Fabulous, isn't it?
It is. I couldn't believe it. I mean, they had to win two games in a week to make it. If they lost either game, they were out.
Well, it seemed tough because I had thought they'd played a lot of games over the last 12, 18 months in qualifying for the World Cup, and they seem to have been doing very well. But then all of a sudden it's like it's sudden death. You've got to win these games or you're out. So it seems that it is quite cutthroat, isn't it, to actually make the World Cup?
It is. How many teams is 32 make it?
32 teams make the World Cup.
So there's like 250-odd countries that play soccer, isn't there?
There is, and I'm not 100% on how they now do it, but I know they're talking about changing the system again. They've changed it every now and then about how you qualify. And, of course, Australia have been in the pretty tough Asia draw, and often we end up playing a South American team to qualify. So it's not easy, is it? But, of course, to make five World Cups in a row, and you think now, like, soccer in Australia has been getting better and better, hasn't it, both men and women. And the quality of our young players now, like we've always had players who've played overseas, but now we seem to have a lot of players, young players, who are really doing well in overseas leagues. So let's hope this time we can have a really good run at it. However, have you seen the draw we're in?
Yeah, I know. I mean,
we're in Group D.
Yeah, there's Denmark and Tunisia and France. Are France any good?
They've only won the last two World Cups. But currently, apparently, they're not doing so well. They're only ranked third.
Wow.
And Denmark are ranked 11th and Tunisia 35th. So the experts are saying we've got to get a win against Tunisia and hopefully get a draw against one of the others. That might give us a chance to move out of the group stage into the next, into the 16, top 16.
Yeah, well, you know, against Peru sort of in the last qualifying game, it was nil all after full time, nil all after the extra time, and it went to a penalty shootout. But very strange, they actually replaced a goalkeeper just before the end of extra time.
Well, Matt Ryan, who's also the captain, of course, the coach, Graham Arnold, who's been under a bit of pressure, hasn't he, made that switch. And I didn't get up early to watch the game, but I've watched some of the replays and highlights.
Yeah,
and
me too.
You would think that's a weird thing to do, but obviously we'll get to that point that it was a planned decision. It wasn't just a random thing to be done. But yes, so Matt Ryan gets subbed out with 3 minutes left, and this guy, who's now pretty famous in Australia, Andrew Redmayne, comes out and does some heroic stuff.
Yeah, and the way he was dancing around, like the Wiggles, he was a dancing goalkeeper. And I saw something on TV where they interviewed him and had a bit of fun with one of the Wiggles, and he was they were talking about him becoming one of the Wiggles, and they already had the yellow, and then he apparently said, "Oh well, I'll go as a green Wiggle."
We love that sort of larrikin, don't we? And we love something a bit different, and he provided that. I've got to say, though, I do feel a bit sorry for Matt Ryan. I don't know. I haven't seen any interviews with him. I imagine as the captain of the team and our go-to goalkeeper, and he's played in the last two World Cups, he's probably very confident in his role and as the number one goalkeeper. But it did seem a bit rough to get subbed out. But then you go, okay, I understand now why that happened. But it must be a little bit hard to take because goalkeepers are often just not ignored, but they're underrated. Like, you know, they often, if they miss a few, we look at them and say, oh, they've lost the game. They make sometimes wonderful saves in a game, and especially soccer where it can be a nil or draw or that one goal can make a difference. A couple of really great saves, which over the 90 minutes, people don't always remember them, do they?
No, they don't. But you know, the funny thing is about Andrew Redmayne is he was only like the third time he'd represent Australia. It was incredible just the way he sort of like did those star jumps and, you know, and then the save itself. I mean, it was almost like watching it in slow motion.
Well, he didn't shrink, did he?
No.
And so, you know, for someone in his third cap in such an important time, an important game and an important time of the game, he certainly rose to the challenge. And so you've got to give hats off to Graham Arnold for having the guts to make that decision and also to Andrew Redmayne for actually pulling off what he did. Did you? I saw a little other clip where he actually threw the other goalkeeper's drink bottle away, playing a few mind games.
And you know, to tell the full story, he came on sort of near the end of the extra time. So, you know, after the 5 penalty shootout, both teams had 4 goals each, and they went to the 6, and we scored in the 6, and of course, then he made the save for us to win. But isn't there a bit of a story about the Australian that kicked our 6th goal?
A Wurm Mobile, who from South Sudan, he was in a refugee camp called the Kakuma Camp in Kenya. So, what I've read, he came to actually Adelaide. They immigrated to Adelaide in 2006. He first played for Adelaide United at the age of 17. And so now, of course, has gone on to be playing for Australia. But so it's an interesting story, isn't it, going from and he was playing soccer in that refugee camp. They used to roll up socks and eventually they'd get quite hard from rolling around in the dirt and so on, and that's what they played soccer with. But interestingly, he has now obviously gone on to fabulous things for Australia in soccer, but he's also gone back to that camp
in Kenya.
And is actually in Kenya and set up a program called Barefoot to Boots, which is to help, and he's done that with his brother to help those kids who are in those camps still, refugees obviously, and help them. Not necessarily it is about soccer,
fantastic,
but it's more about humanitarian aid as well. So isn't it great that's those wonderful stories, like we often don't know those things. Those things could go unnoticed, but on the world stage of sport, we see this. And then, of course, we find these backstories. And that's what I really love about sport sometimes. We find out those things about not just great soccer player, but obviously a great person.
Now, am I correct in remembering when he first played for Australia, there was some bad news that his sister was killed in a car accident?
Yeah, tragically, right obviously near us out this northern suburb, she was his sister was killed in a car accident. Not far from where we are now. So that he got that news either just before he played his first game for Australia, or just after. And I remember that being like headline news here. That was pretty tragic.
Very sobering, very sobering. Now, I'll tell you, getting on a bit of a lighter note, watching Andrew Redmayne save that ball, you know what it made me think about? It made me think about, do you remember the 2002 Winter Olympics when Steve Bradbury, the speed skater, came from nowhere to win? I mean, I'd never heard of Steve Bradbury to that moment. And to be honest, I'd never really heard of Andrew Redmayne until this.
There are some parallels. let's hope it can happen in the World Cup.
Yeah.
That would be a closer parallel. But you're right, isn't it, where you go from not being a zero, because you're not a zero, of course, you're playing for Australia, but not the number one pick as the goalkeeper, you know, important part of the team, but you've obviously got some real skills, which is saving those penalty shots. The coaches recognise that. So he's now is a household name, isn't he?
Oh, I reckon he is. But, you know, having said that, I mean, look, a few stats about the guy. He's 33 years old. He was born on the 13th of January 1989. He's 1.94 metres high. He's played for a number of teams in the Australian League. He's played for the Central Coast Mariners, the Brisbane Roar, the Melbourne Heart, Western Sydney Wanderers, and Sydney FC, so in the A-League. Now, something interesting, when he played for Western Sydney Wanderers, I actually saw him play, and he conceded 3 goals, and the Adelaide City won 3-1 in 2016. It was a grand final at Adelaide Oval.
It's great for us, isn't it?
It is.
He's obviously got better. But that's what I mean. That's why it's hard for goalkeepers, isn't it? Because you can have like a game like that, if that's the only game, he's not a great goalkeeper. But, of course, it's such a tough thing. It's not. I mean, sometimes you like they do all the things right, they're in great position, and then the ball deflects off one of their own players or a defender. And so it's quite, I mean, I always feel sorry for goalkeepers. Now, speaking of goalkeepers.
Yeah.
Who can you remember? Like, if I said Australian goalkeepers, who comes to mind?
Was it Boston team?
Bosnich.
Bosnich, yep. And there was another guy. Look, you got me. I can hardly remember goalkeepers.
Mark Schwarzer.
Yeah.
Played for Australia 94 times.
Wow.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you remember John Aloisi, who was an Adelaide boy,
yep,
played all around the world, who's current coach of Western United, who just won the A-League.
Yeah, they just won it, yeah.
Do you remember the actual World Cup qualifying against Uruguay? And it was 2005 coming in, so to qualify for the 2006 World Cup.
Was it 0-0 or 1-0 or something?
Well, it was, again, penalty shootout.
Yeah.
And Mark Swarza made two fabulous saves, and then John Aloisi, they showed this the other day, of course, he put away the final goal, and you remember him running off, ripping his shirt off and everyone going.
Yes, and was it played at the MCG?
I can't remember
where
it was, but it was, and again, that's where a goalkeeper comes into the fore. Now, I certainly remember Bosnich and Swarza, but 94 times he played for Australia.
Wow, 94.
You're going to be remembered for that one, I mean, not just for that, but that's going to be a clear memory for a lot of people because it's such an important save. You make that one or two saves in those penalty shootouts and it makes a world of difference.
Well, you know, again, I'll use Steve Bradbury as an example. I don't remember anything he did before that or anything after. So it's similar, really.
It is, yeah.
You know, I just can't, you know, that's why I thought of Steve Bradbury straight away. I was just watching it on the TV and for some reason that just popped into my head.
Well, there certainly are some parallels.
Very in line.
So the World Cup, Qatar.
Wow.
November.
Yeah. You know, Australia's first World Cup was 1974. That was in Germany, as it was in 2006, which was – we lost to Italy. I think it was 1-0, and Italy went on to win the cup. And if we'd beaten Italy, I think we would have gone to the semis.
Yeah, we were very close, weren't we?
Oh, absolutely. Very close. And I remember, do you remember those games against Japan where we were losing 1-0 and we got up and won 3-1 with Kale kicked all those goals?
Well, Kale's just been a superstar. And that's the thing, isn't it? The strikers we remember.
Yeah.
But Japan have been our bogey team in this preparation because, like, Australia played 17 games, including the game against Peru. They won 11 of them, drew 3 and lost 3, and 2 of their losses were to Japan.
Yeah, and the other one was Saudi Arabia?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's unbelievable. I mean, and look, South America, I mean, you look at the South American countries like Argentina and Brazil and you think they're soccer nations. I mean, Peru's up in that area. How good are Peru?
Well, you got to think most South American teams are very, very skilled, aren't they? And they can win probably on any day they can win. But my understanding is Brazil, again, are favourites for this World Cup. So maybe we're lucky we've got France rather than Brazil.
Maybe. Although Pelé still doesn't play, does he?
No.
He is a one soccer player I would put up as the best soccer player ever.
Well, I'm not going to get into that.
Well, we talk about the greatest sportsman for various sports. For soccer, he would be mine.
Well, I know. And again, you're coming from a particular era, aren't you? So
no, I'm going from that film, Escape to Victory.
So Sylvester Stallone's right up there as well. Then. But you might have, the younger generation might have a different idea.
Are you calling me old?
No, not at all. I'd never do that. Have I ever mentioned your age before on this show?
Yes, many times. But no, that's all good. Look, I just hope, I mean, really, like we said, I mean, we have to beat Tunisia. We have to beat them. And then look for a point against France or Denmark and perhaps that'll get us through.
Well, I'm going to really look forward to the World Cup, which I think we always do. I mean, I'm not going to jump up and down and say I'm the greatest of soccer fans. I certainly appreciate the skills in the game. But the World Cup always grabs my interest more than a lot of other big sporting competitions. Yeah. So I think Australia are going to do very, very well. Like, they played so well against Peru. Like, in the actual real, like, the 90 minutes, we had so many opportunities. I think Peru probably played a little bit better in overtime. They had some really good shots that could have gone in, but penalties is we made it count then.
Yeah, look, it's sort of like, and when does it start? November or something?
November, you know, late November. They've had to change it because of obviously the temperature in Qatar, so it's later in the year where it will be a little bit cooler.
And a lot of these leading games weren't played in Australia, were they? They were played
all over the place.
Yeah, it was.
So that's what I mean. Like, it's a big commitment, isn't it? Like, we've talked about that before. Like, if you're a professional soccer player, national duties, like, and it's a real commitment to play for your country. And most people want to do that, but it does have an impact on obviously the clubs.
Well, congratulations, Andrew Redmayne. I hope he sort of ends up playing a few more than the three caps that he's got already, and I hope he sort of does something extra special in the World Cup, and good luck to Matt Ryan.
Yeah, great. Let's Socceroos. Aussie.
Oi, oi, oi. So ends another Cut on Load Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.